Welcome back to the Cape Fear Rundown. From WHQR Public Media, I'm your host, Camille Mojica. Primary elections have wrapped up, so I'm going to bring in Ben to talk to us about some trends that we saw. Stick around. And here's Ben to talk about elections. Welcome back to the Cape Fear Rundown. I'm here with Ben Shockman.
Hi, Cammie.
Hi, Ben. I said your name a lot more staccato than I usually do.
You really, like, punched each syllable.
Ben Shockman.
I like it. That's good.
Okay. This week, I have you on because we're talking about elections, which were this past week and also the past other weeks because of early voting.
Yes. Yes. It's important to remind people at all times that elections are no longer like a one-day thing. Yes, a lot of people come out on election day, but a lot of the voting gets done beforehand.
Yes, because then you can go to any voting precinct and you don't have to go to your specifically designated one, which is kind of irritating.
Correct. And if you're trying to fit voting into a busy life and there's still no headway being made on making election day a national holiday, early voting might be the way to go.
Okay, so we're going to talk about election breakdown and go over who won, who didn't win, upsets, not upsets. Not upsets? I think that's a good word.
Not upsets. Yeah, let's take a 30,000-foot view because we've got a lot of reporting on the HQR website, and I don't want to have to recap all that. So if you're interested in Brunswick County or Pender County or the school board, we got articles for you. But I want to talk a little bit about some of the big trends that we saw.
Okay. So what's the big one?
So the big trend was, in terms of voter turnout, the big trend was that people were just kind of over it.
Really?
Yeah, voter turnout was down, you know, in some places by 10 percentage points from where it was in 2020, which was the last time we had a primary election during a presidential election year, which usually boosts turnout.
I was going to say, usually people feel more galvanized to go.
Yeah, if you look at 2022's primary election numbers were down. But when people are weighing in on who's going to be president, which often lines up with who's going to be governor.
And
other big council of state races, you do tend to see more turnout.
Okay, so why didn't we see as many people, though?
Great question. So my colleague, Johanna Still, at the Assembly, called a poli-sci expert at UNCW, Aaron King, and he said there's a couple things going on. One is that a lot of people are, especially younger people, are frustrated with this race because they feel disenfranchised in the process because the candidates don't look like them in any way.
Yes.
These are older white men, and we get a whole other discussion about their capacity, but just in terms of, like, you want to see something of yourself reflected in your candidate, and if your candidate's 55 years older than you, when they're doing demographics of who's showing up at the polls, younger people aren't. And then there's also a sense that this is kind of silly. At the presidential level, like, most people have assumed for months and months and months that this was going to be a rematch between President Joe Biden and former President Donald Trump. And while there's a ton of important down ballot stuff that we tried hard to, you know, impress upon people, a lot of people really think about this election as being a presidential election.
Okay.
And so, as Aaron King said, a lot of people thought that cake is already baked in terms of who is going to be doing the head-to-head.
Oh, okay. So they didn't think it was necessary to vote in the primary.
Right. They're just like, yeah, they're like, well, it's going to be Biden. Or, like, if you're a conservative, well, it's going to be Trump.
Oh, okay.
And so they're already thinking about November.
But there's so many other people on that ballot.
So many other people. So let's talk a little bit about what happened with those other people on the ballot.
Okay.
So in Brunswick County, I think every incumbent who was running kept their seat, both on the county commission and on the Board of Education. There was one tragic case where a Board of Education member passed away with just in the final weeks of the campaign. And so another candidate won there. And there was another school board candidate, I believe Ed Lemon, who chose not to run again.
Okay.
And so a challenger is by default going to win there. But pretty much Brunswick County incumbents held on. And, you know, this is part of a bigger picture that we get of how, at least, we didn't see any Democratic primaries, by and large, at the local level in Brunswick County. So I'm not picking on Republicans. I'm just that those are the primaries we had to look at.
Yes.
So in general, they seem to be more moderately conservative. So if you look at how Donald Trump and Mark Robinson, the current lieutenant governor who's running for governor, polled, they both won, but they did about 4 or 5 points less than they did statewide overall. And those are both kind of, you know, fiery populist candidates who've been criticized for some of their comments, allegations of bigotry, so on and so forth.
So who took some of that vote instead?
So Nikki Haley took some away from Donald Trump. Nikki Haley did better in Brunswick County than she did overall in the state.
Huh.
And candidates Bill Graham and State Treasurer Dale Falwell took some away from Robinson in Brunswick County.
Okay.
And so it's just a little bit different flavor of conservatism in Brunswick County, but it feels kind of, this is not an insult, but it is more of a traditional status quo, you know, conservative kind of place. Pender County, very different. we've seen, you know, Pender County is, it's growing very quickly. And we saw, I think, except with one exception, we saw all of the incumbents lose their primary races. And many of them won to sort of more populist candidates who were saying, you know, the current government in Bergall, that, you know, the Pender County's management is screwing things up. They're not handling infrastructure. They're allowing too much development. Mm. So not the same kind of bombast that we saw from Trump and Robinson, but definitely more of like a, hey, the current government's not working.
Yes.
And in Pender County, we saw Trump and Robinson did really, really well. Better than average.
Okay.
And then in New Hanover County, you know, here it's always interesting because you've got the largest single group of voters are unaffiliated in New Hanover County.
Really?
Yeah.
There's
more unaffiliated than there are Republican or Democrat voters.
I did not know that.
Democratic
okay.
voters, yeah. So, you know, Republican candidates and Democratic candidates kind of have to, you know, factor that in a little bit in the primary, because unaffiliated voters in North Carolina can vote in either primary that they want.
Yes.
Or the Libertarian primary.
Oh, okay.
Yes, where there was a man named Trime Taveler running for Libertarian president. We could do a whole other episode on that. But anyway, now unaffiliated voters still tend to have some kind of space in the political spectrum. So there's, you know, largely left-leaning, largely right-leaning, but they do have some eclectic political beliefs that don't line up with the traditional parties because they're not in them. So, all right, looking at New Hanover County's breakdown, we clearly saw that Trump and Robinson did less well in New Hanover County, which you could probably attribute to both more moderate Republicans voting for Haley or Dale Falwell or something like that, and possibly left-leaning unaffiliateds who decided to jump into the primary on the Republican side and maybe vote for a candidate that they found less distasteful. And obviously, of course, right-leaning unaffiliated voters who, again, are a bit more moderate and thought, okay, I think Nikki Haley is a better fit for the Republican Party than Trump.
Okay.
Now, there's one weird part of this calculus that doesn't make sense in that, and that is Michelle Moreau, who is the candidate for the state superintendent of public instruction. So it's basically a council-level position, so like the treasurer, the auditor, attorney general, she's up there.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So it's a state-level position, basically runs DPI, basically is in charge of the public schools.
Mm.
Now, the existing candidate, Catherine Truitt, is very conservative. Just last week, she was posting on X some stuff that's been criticized for being transphobic. She was talking about keeping trans women out of women's sports. But on X, she wrote, keeping boys out of girls' sports.
Just last week.
So she is in no way woke. She's not on the left. You know, she's not even a centrist. And you know, she helped write the Parents' Bill of Rights, which we've talked about on the rundown a bunch of times.
Yes.
So definitely, like, in the right of center part of the political spectrum, Michelle Moreau went way further right. Criticized Truitt as, you know, not as being woke, as being a tool, as being a rhino.
Really?
Yeah. And you know, Moreau, who ran unsuccessfully in 2022 for a school board position in Wake County, I think, has reposted election denial stuff. She's reposted vaccine misinformation. She's more or less the Moms for Liberty candidate. She's endorsed a lot of other candidates and been endorsed by a lot of other candidates who are in that kind of wheelhouse.
Mm-hmm.
So much further right than Truitt, apparently. And she, Moreau, I say all of that because she's an upstart populist coming from further right than some centrist candidates. And that didn't work for Trump and Robinson in New Hanover County, but it worked for Michelle Moreau.
Why?
That is a great question, right?
How does that make any sense?
So a friend of the show, Kelly Kinoyer,
yes,
suggested that maybe people who didn't understand the down ballot candidates,
uh-huh,
who just hadn't done their research or wasn't familiar with those races, thought that since Truitt is, you know, has some pretty further right leanings, they thought they were voting against that maybe.
Oh,
and accidentally voted for an even further right candidate.
Oh, snap. Okay.
I happen to think, because she was a known quantity here, she has endorsed Natasha Tu, who's a candidate for school board this year. She was endorsed by Melissa Mason, who's the current vice chair of our school board. So at least there's some knowledge of who she is here in the community. I think that another part of this puzzle is that people might have, when it comes to certain parts of the government, people might be fine with more, you know, conventional conservative candidates. But there's something about education that gets people really, really riled up, because you're talking about their kids.
In the county.
In the county, at the county level. So when, you know, we have seen people, like in 2022, this is anecdotal, but talking to people at the polls, you know, they said they came out to vote for school board.
Yes, I remember that.
Because this is an off year. They're not voting for president. They're not voting for governor. So they may have also voted for, you know, a county commissioner or a judge or something else, but they were there for school board.
Okay.
So, and it may be that when they pick up that ballot, they don't really care who is the state auditor or even who's governor, you know, because they're Republican and they're like, yeah, the Republican candidate's going to be fine.
Okay. But this
is
one
really
race.
Really vested in that race, in how public education works and what kind of experience their kid is having. So agree or disagree with Michelle Morrow's politics, I think that's obviously an issue that just really, really animates people, and they come out, you know, for that issue.
Ben, thank you for being on the show with me this week to break down our break down the elections.
Are we using that as the outro? Let's do it. All right, I was happy to do it.
Thank you so much for listening to the Cape Fear Rundown. Check out our show notes for relevant links and titles to the music we use this week. If you have any questions, comments, concerns, or just general feedback, feel free to get in touch. You can shoot me an email at cmojica, that's M-O-J-I-C-A, at whqr.org, or you can find me on X at Cameo Reports. I'd love to hear from you. I'm your host, Camille Mojica, and I'll see you next week.